WAGM and WAGM-TV for 15 years at least, and who is going to give us a background on the history of broadcasting in Aroostook County.
Well, of course, in the first place, although WAGM radio was in Presque Isle, it wasn't started in Presque Isle. It was started in 1931 in Mars Hill. It was originated by Ellie Hughes, who had some interest in some ham work prior to this. So we got interested in sort of pioneering radio. And they held the first corporation meeting on May 26, 1931. The president and treasurer at that time was E.M. Fulton, vice president R.H. Fowler, and secretary Harry Lewin. All these people were from Mars Hill, but then they decided that Mars Hill wasn't quite big enough for a radio station, so when they decided Mars Hill wasn't really big enough for a broadcast station, they selected Presque Isle, and the first broadcast was made on February 7th in 1932 with a station that had only 100 watts of power. In fact, Presque Isle, or WAGM at Presque Isle, was one of the real early pioneers of broadcasting in the United States. When Presque Isle went on the air, there were only 450 other radio stations in the United States, and the station in Presque Isle was the third in the state of Maine. There was one WABI in Bangor, WCSH in Portland, and WLBZ in Bangor. They had their first location of their tower, which was a flat top tower, actually two wooden poles with a wire strung between them and a wire running down from this up on Hardy Hill, and they had the studios in the Presque Isle National Bank building.
Now that was on the third floor of the National Bank.
That's very true. Second floor being operated, being occupied rather by the old Perry Theater and then later by movie theater, and the first floor was of course operated by the Northern National Bank as well as Fox Clothing Store and Freeman's Clothing Store and one or two other stores.
How many members of staff would you have then there?
Well, when they started out, they started quite ambitious, and they had a staff of 10 or 12, and they did a great deal of local programming, and in fact, all their broadcasts were local origination. But when they got along toward the Depression period, the operation had to be cut rather drastically. So in around 1940, there was only about six working for the station, and in fact, the station almost went broke at this period of time. The stockholders, who were spread all over the county, only one or two shares apiece, decided to turn back their stock to two of the original creators, Ellie Hughes and R.W. McIntosh. And so they just gave the stock back to them and said to the boys, you just go ahead and see if you can keep this running, which they did up to the advent of the war. And during the war, Edward McIntosh sold out of his holdings to Red Hughes, and Mac enlisted in the foreign branch of the Office of War Information. And soon after that, Hughes became associated with Northeast Airline, flying the old ATC route, ferrying supplies up north. And at that time, the station was operating on 100 watts. It was on the air from 11 a.m. until 1, and then they went off the air and came back at 4 and operated till 7. They did this 6 days a week, and Sunday they were only on 3 hours a day, mostly religious programs from 11 in the morning till about 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Broadcast time then was about 33 hours a week.
That's right. In 1942, I became employed as a part-time salesman, and worked about a year in this capacity, and then became the general manager. And the staff at this time consisted of one part-time general manager and salesman, a part-time engineer who might be absent from the property for as long as 40 or 50 days, and the general manager had to fill in as the engineer, part-time announcer, and many of the announcers that we employed at that time were high school students or youngsters. We had a secretary, copywriter, and traffic manager, and woman's director all combined. So we just had a very tiny staff.
And everyone was a jack of all trades.
They sure were. But at that time, we originated many local programs and made do. I remember one of that was very popular with all of the youngsters, and a show that would demand $1,500 or 2,000 letters during the series was a series of programs called Mrs. Santa Claus. I think you remember that one, don't you?
Yes, I remember quite well. About 14 years.
That's very true.
It lasted.
Well, this situation went along quite stagnant for about 2 years, and until January 26, 1945, they had a fire that completely destroyed the Prescott National Bank and all the properties of the station, because prior to the fire in January 26 of 45, the broadcast station had moved their tower down on top of the old bank building. So in this 45 fire, it completely burned all of the assets of the corporation, the tower, the studios, and all of its equipment completely burned to the ground. And certainly at this time, the outlook for broadcasting in Aroostook County, Presque Isle being the only station at that time, looked pretty dim, because remember again, we was in war during 45, and you couldn't get equipment, but we borrowed a microphone here and a turntable somewhere else from other stations in the state, and Red Hughes put together a 10 watt transmitter, which was located in the basement of what was formerly the Harry Green store, in a small room about 20 by 20. They broadcasted with about 10 watts of power, and if you were listening real hard, you could hear them over to Caribou and Fort Trevor, mostly just in Presque Isle. This time, Hughes owned about 90% of the operation, and after fire, he felt that he did not wish to pursue broadcasting further from an ownership standpoint, so he sold all of his interest to Harold Glidden, who then sold part of his holdings to Harry Humphrey. And they together rebuilt the station, applied for and received permission to go 250 watts and operate full time from 5 o'clock in the morning or 5:50 in the morning until 12 o'clock at night. At this time, McIntosh, or soon after this, rather, McIntosh had come back from the war and became associated again with WAGM.
Now, where were your offices located then, your office and your studio?
When the station went full power, or rather full time with 250 watts of power, they were located in what was then called the Hedrick Block on the second floor, and the transmitter was out in the country on the Parkhurst Road, a piece of land that the corporation bought from Ed Parkhurst. Continued more or less the same until 1948. And in 1948, the corporation opened a studio in Caribou. Now, this was just a studio, and Presque Isle and Caribou both shared the transmitter, which was, of course, in Presque Isle. And continued to grow. Again, WAGM at this period was the only broadcasting station in Aroostook County. In 1950, the corporation felt that it needed again to expand, and it wished to expand to the south. And of course, they had a couple of things to do it in order to cover the Houghton market. they could build a transmitter or increase power in the operation at Presque Isle. They elected to increase power for the Holton operation, or rather, I don't have to correct that, they decided not to increase power, but to build a sister station of 250 watts in Holton, which they did, and they called the station at that time WABM, wanting the name to be as close to WAGM as possible, so that they wanted everybody in the county to feel that it was one station. They built a very fine brick building in the Holton area, and went on the air with programs more or less the same as WAGM had been broadcasting then, because they had then become affiliated with all the major radio networks, Columbia Broadcasting System, the National Broadcasting System, the American Broadcasting System, Mutual Broadcasting Company, Narragansett Broadcasting Company, and Keystone Transcribed Broadcasting Company, as well as the main state network. Now, all of these services were available to radio in this 1950 period.
Now, this building in Holton is still in use. This is still the site of WHOU, isn't it?
That is right. It has changed hands several times, and it is now called WHOU, exactly the same building that was built at that time. Quite an old carpenter at the time by the name of Holly Post built that building, and that was about the last building Holly Post ever built. Really, he had retired when he built that building, but one of the Putnams, in fact, it was Fred Putnam, who was friendly with the station, urged Harry Post to build this building for them because he wanted a good-looking studio and transmitter in the Holton area.
Well, it's a very attractive building. It's very attractively landscaped.
It sure certainly is. In fact, the brick construction, the building has stood, 22 years, and never has had a bit of repair construction. The outside of the building looks like it'll be standing there for a long while. One of the things that in this period that WAGM was particularly proud of was the broadcasting of approximately 65 high school basketball games, and these were originating from all points in the state of Maine, from Van Buren to Portland. And the corporation also originated at that period the ABS Scholastic Fund, which was administered by the Principals Association, and it made loans to deserving boys and girls in Ooster County to further their education. And they at one time had assets in excess of $10,000, and this was money that had been turned in by the listeners who listened to broadcasting all winter and had no opportunity to pay their way into a game, so they decided that if they contributed a part of the money they might have paid for the gate, this could go to a scholastic fund for higher education boys and girls in Ooster County.
Is this scholarship fund still in existence?
I don't think it is operating now, and in fact I don't know just exactly what has become it. I rather think that it was turned over to another fund after the properties had been sold by Glidden to Mr. Hildreth. In fact, in 1945, Harry Humphrey sold his holdings to Glidden, which Glidden at that time owned about 65% of the corporation. And in October 1956, the Rustic Broadcasting Corporation built a television station, the transmitter and tower being located on the former radio location on the Parkhurst Road. It had studios on Main Street behind the city drugstore, and Glidden operated the station from October 1956 until September of 1957, at which time he sold all of his interest to Horace Hillred, who then operated the properties for several months, and then Mr. Hillred sold off the WAVM property, or the radio property in Houghton, and changed its name to WHOU.
The Hildreth Company is still operating WHEM, as near as you know.
Yes, they do, and doing a very good job. It's a big job today to operate television in the same manner that people are used to seeing it in New York, and to do it with a population of Rooster County of only $100,000, a real headache.
Do you have any? You've been out of television and broadcasting and radio for some years now. Do you have any in Maine? Do you have any prospects of going back into this business at any time?
Oh, probably not. I still have a bit of interest. I have an interest in the station down to Worcester, Massachusetts, but that's sort of an absentee ownership thing, and I guess probably a younger generation has got to do the broadcasting.
We have been talking with Harold D. Glidden of Presque Isle, who has made probably the most outstanding contribution to broadcasting of anyone in Aroostook County. Thank you, Mr. Glidden.
Thank you.